Another all-new episode of Carolina Sports Talk starts now.
Can y'all feel that? Can you feel that thing that squeezes out your doggone hands? That thing is beating your doggone chest right now. Can you feel that?
Welcome back to another episode of Carolina Sports Talk. As always, thank you for tuning in on your favorite podcast app. Next time, tell your smart speaker, play Carolina Sports Talk. You can hit us up on the Carolina Sports Talk line, Cliff at CarolinaSportsTalk.net. Or to be a part of the show, you can hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube at Carolina Sports Talk. Man, it's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you for so long. Point blank, we just shouldn't have left you. My bad. As always, welcome in my main man and yours, DJ High Star, on the ones and two. My guy,
what's up?
Listen, it's been weeks since the people have heard from us, and even longer since they heard from us on an exclusive podcast platform. So I need a little bit more than your.
Reporting live from Dope Digital's studios.
Okay, shout out to Dope Digital's.
They're up their hoops, if you will. I told him if he has any kind of feedback, anything like that, email the show.
Say that. My dog, what's been going on with you, man? What you been up to? How's life been treating you? You looking good in your Carolina Sports Talk t-shirt? Available online, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, for all those that can't see, and you know, but I've been chilling though. I know that we had gone a little while, so we missed a lot as far as playoffs and, like, I think you told me emails and stuff was falling in and things like that. So it got crazy. I think we almost missed a season, like literal one of the four seasons.
Listen, spring was springing, but you know, they might as well get used to it, especially because we're probably gonna be on a hiatus for the summer. But that's neither here nor there. Without further ado, you just kind of alluded to it. Let's just jump straight into it. Pause. There's a whole lot going on in the world of basketball. For those who may have missed it, the tides have turned. We have long since here on, you know, not like some of those other folks like on the Four Letter Network that have, oh, I've always been a fan. But we here at Carolina Sports Talk have always been proponents of women's basketball. And as such, with the momentum, with all that is going on in the game of the WNBA, I feel it only applicable and only right that we lead the show off starting with the WNBA. So with that being said, we're going to pass it over to you, DJ High Star. I don't know if they got music, but we're going to hit them with the NBA music.
No, but I did want to say that the last month or so, the ladies have really put the W in WNBA. The youngins, they use W as slang. But yeah, no, so what's been going on in the WNBA has been Commissioner's Cup, I want to say. Hold on, let me get this right real quick. Show respect to the ladies. But yeah, the WNBA Commissioner's Cup. So there's three games going on this evening. The Mystics are currently losing to the Sun, 51-40. The Liberty are beating the Sky, 21-8. And then the Mercury and the Storm are scheduled to play at 10 o'clock this evening. But yeah, so, you know, we alluded to it, the WNBA has been all over the headlines. It's led all of the sports talk and stuff for the past week or so, more specifically, but then in general about the past month since the draft and since their season has started. Right. All eyes, of course, have been on Caitlin Clark. And then by proxy, really, if you recall, I want to set the stage for the audience as well. We both forecasted this boom in professional women's basketball with the high level of play and the parity and stuff that was going on with the college you know, play for the last 2 years, 3 years. So now it's starting to kind of come to fruition. So did want to pat us on the back and give you your credit and mine.
Yeah, likewise.
One. It's an easy free throw or layup, if you will. But I say that to say there's plenty of talent that came. There's a big talent pool that came from college this year into women's pros, into the WNBA, or the W, I believe they call it. No, seriously, I think they
got no, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
W. Yeah.
So Caitlin Clark's been getting a lot of the shine. One of the early on, the Fever were showing on social media because they got to fly charter and got to fly a private or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And overall, it's yielded little to no results, of course, in a quick turnaround time, as we've seen in the past, i.e., Wemby's early stages or even LeBron's kind of early stages with that early Cleveland crew. And it's like, we know what generational talent, if you will, or talent that y'all have with her, but the team still, like, the team is, has gone unaddressed so long that they're staring down a 2-9 record. They've wet the bed, if you will, proverbially, since the season started, but she still gets the coverage she gets.
Now, let me ask you this.
Go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, with that, the Indiana Fever they're a bad team. This was their second consecutive year picking number one overall. Mm-hmm. We know they went the South Carolina route last year. So they're trying to, right, with Miss Boston, they are trying to build, but as you mentioned, they're trash right now.
I was trying to find the diplomatic and classy way to say it.
I'm just going to put it. Listen, if they want the attention, they're going to get the attention. but what do you think is the problem? Because, again, they've got at least some players with Aaliyah, and you've got, again, the two top picks in the last two drafts. Is it that there is no one else there? You mentioned being kind of unaddressed for so long. Is it coaching? Is it just the stat? What is it that is prohibiting them from winning, in your opinion?
I can't even say, you know, honestly, that I've watched them closely enough to be able to diagnose that. But I know on the surface level, you know, and forgive me if I'm, you know, speaking out of place or don't know what I'm talking about, but it doesn't appear to have like a great leadership structure or whatnot. A good veteran that they can trust and follow and stuff like that. It seems like that the team is being led by Aaliyah and Caitlin Clark. And of course, more specifically, Caitlin. And it's like, we've got a new toy that we're trying out and that we're playing with or whatever. Pause.
Now, I will say this from my vantage point, they are an incredibly young team. But on the flip side of that, the league, the W, as you would, that didn't do them any favors. They have had the toughest 10-game streak to start the league of any of the teams. If you want to equate it to the NFL, when you know how the NFL has, like, oh, you play, if you finished third place in your division, you play the third place in whatever other divisions to the next year. Well, they didn't do that with them. They've literally played three out of the top four defenses in the WNBA, coupled by the joined in alongside the defending champs a couple of times already as well. So they've just had a murderer's row. We talk about how when your team's like Golden State or the LeBron Lakers or anything like that, a lot of other teams, they're going to give you their best shot when they get that chance to play you. And just because she is the quote unquote new face of the league and she's the generational player, they are going at her hard. And so every game she plays is almost like a playoff game in that regard.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I was saying it's under a microscope as well, as far as just the physicality and the contact and stuff like that. More specifically, Kennedy Carter, when they were playing the Sky, Chicago Sky, who have Camille Cardoza back, right? And then they have Angel Reese and also Spoon, Coach Spoon, which is very, you know, slept on. But so they have a player, Kennedy Carter, who has a history, somewhat being an enforcer. She's kind of the W's version of Draymond. She's gotten kicked off of teams in the past for conduct detrimental to the team. She's fought players like her own teammates and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's like that. And throughout the game, there's some chippiness back and forth with her and Caitlin. And it culminated in her throwing a cheap shot at Caitlin while Caitlin was waiting for the ball to be inbounded. You know, call it flopping or whatnot or whatever. It was still unexpected. And if anybody's ever gotten hit unexpected or gotten hit with a screen unexpected or whatever, the slightest of that, if you're not, your momentum's not going that way, you know what I mean, can knock you off. So nevertheless, I'm not, if you will, like caping for Caitlin or anything like that. Those are the facts, right, of what happened.
Right.
So that
caping for Caitlin. Let's put it on a t-shirt.
They've already had a bunch of things that they've submitted to the league as far as different calls and different non-calls that haven't been called for her, because again, it's been a physical start for some of the touted superstars, if you will, Angel Reese included, but some of these girls that have a name and coming in with a name that had NILs and stuff like that. It's like some of these veterans in the WNBA is showing them like, oh, nah, like,
doing this.
Yeah, you got to earn your stripes.
Now, along those lines, before you move forward, let me ask you a question there. Where do you stand on that with saying, OK, yeah, she's a transcendent generational player and she's got all this attention. There are the veterans, like you said, who are playing like, yeah, nah, we here. You still got to, you know what I mean? Go ahead and do your thing out here. But where do you stand on whether or not to allow them to rough her up a little bit and be like, hey, welcome to the league, rookie, or that she is the future of the league, and so she ought to get like the LeBron treatment or something along those lines.
So when you say that, like the LeBron treatment and stuff, we're like, are we alluding to like her getting calls, like
yep, where getting calls or being protected, or like Tom Brady or anything like that? Yeah,
yeah, no. I think you know you probably know my answer, but nah, I'm competitive by nature, and it's like gotta figure it out. Steph was too small, you know what I mean? Pause. Even at the time MJ was considered, you know, whatever, where he had to do whatever he had to do in the offseason to defeat Detroit. Mm-hmm. So right now she's really just building up. This is like her villain origin story, you know?
Mm.
She becomes that killer or that assassin. Excuse me. It's not like you can say anything. Now, one thing I can say that I don't like of her is her body language on the court. A lot of times.
Never liked it though, but yeah.
That's a great point. Back in Iowa even, but I just don't like her body language. I think Matt Barnes made a great point about her teammates coming to help her and stuff like that on different situations. And a lot of times I see young Aaliyah helping her and talking to her a lot more than any of the other team. So, you know, it's not that that's concerning, but I've observed that that's something that I'm aware of. You know what I mean? As well.
The New York Post had a headline that I loved. And honestly, as a person who is all about protecting your chief assets on a team and given those who are superstars, they earn the right to be a superstar and get a little bit more preferential treatment. The article's headline simply read, Caitlin Clark is getting pushed around in the WNBA. Good. And I honestly think, like you said, it's helping to get her villain backstory. If/when she wins her first WNBA championship, this is the stuff that's going to be kind of written as the back, as the
things that people got
there. Right. It wasn't just given to her. She had to earn it. And she's going to get and earn that respect if she /when she gets to that point. Now, you mentioned earlier that Angel Reese herself, another superstar rookie, has been getting some attention. There was a legendary sportscaster, Mr. Bob Costas, who said a comment blasting the racial bias in the WNBA. He said simply because, and this is a quote, black on black isn't as attentive to the majority of Americans, unquote. And he alluded to the hard foul that Angel Reese took and then ended up having to get a fine because she retaliated. But he's saying like most people aren't going to pay attention to it because it is the black on black, but because the great white hype, or as Pat McAfee said, there's a white up in Indiana.
Okay, yeah, right.
but just like the attention given to that, what do you say I guess in response to Bob's comments about there being an actual racial bias, but more so in reverse, where they don't care as much about certain things as they would in other instances.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't say that he's wrong. Mm-hmm. It is, I think, the thing that everyone hates simultaneously but is forced to love is the fact of the racial undertone that's going on with mm-hmm. this stuff, because it's feeding people's families right now. But I know there's some commentators with like that integrity where they don't want to just go to kind of that low hanging fruit and talk like bird magic and stuff like that all over again. But it's something you can't ignore, right? And of course, with social media, that's if you look long enough on social media, there's naked truths on there that we try to escape every day. You know what I'm saying? And right. trying to be guarded, that's going to be on there. So, you know, whether it's insults and jokes or it's like little think pieces or whatever like that, and people doing deep dives, it's out there. And it's a factor whenever they talk about her. Scary thing to me is the next 2 or 3 years when your Juju Watkins of the world, your Malaysia Fawalis mm-hmm. of the world come in and now it looks like you're just trying to stay afloat and swim with, you know, all these other sharks or whatever like that.
And the thing for me is, like you mentioned, it's something that's always and long since been there. Those who follow the WNBA know that there's been a feud between another good black player and a white player, Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith. The two of them were actual teammates. And they had a big scuffle or whatever you want to call it on the sidelines and everything. And the two of them just point blank don't like each other. We know that Taurasi is probably one of the GOATs of their league herself. Has been around for a very long time. She helped to lay the foundation upon which I think Caitlin Clark has been building on throughout her college and now short pro career. But this, their beef is real, so much so that like Skylar, although she was a member of the same team since like 2020 or something like that, and then the little blow up was in 2022. They hadn't been on the team because she missed all of last season, like giving birth. She had a baby last year, so she just. Which is wild to me. That's like, oh, injury report. Yeah, she having a baby. But like Skylar had a baby, so she didn't play at all last year. Now she's a part of the Storm up in Seattle. And so like their game, I think if it's not tonight, it's tomorrow. It is tonight. So that's fitting to be. Yeah, that's fitting to be like that. And so those types of rivalries and things have always been a part of the WNBA. It's just that now it's starting to kind of be more visible to a lot more people. Along the lines of visibility, Monica McNutt on ESPN was a part of First Take with Uncle Shay Shay and Stephen A. Smith, and basically said what we've said since beginning, that there are a lot more eyes on it. And Stephen A. will hold on. We've always covered the WNBA on this program. And she was like, now, you know, you my dog. Y'all was not covering it like y'all doing now, which is 1,000% honest. He got in his feelings about it. Who's done more for the W? Dog, just because you gave 10 cents when everybody else was giving 6 don't mean that you been down for them. I've been shooting. No, bro, you was trash. You wasn't giving them no coverage. And his feelings was real life hurt about that, man. What are your thoughts on Stephen A. being sensitive about Miss McNutt's comments? Uh-oh, can't hear you, Bubba.
My fault. Disappointed in the bruhs, first and foremost, but in today's media space, it's kind of like the way that business is done. It's like you show me up publicly. Like I see a lot of people that, because I guess whenever he made his response, he's like, you know, did you know Monica McNutt? And, you know, I bet you do now, you know, because I put her on First Take. And granted, to his point, he was like saying it in a passive aggressive complimentary light. Like he was complimenting them, all of those ladies, but he was still putting himself in there to say like, but I'm the one who is the one who. And it's I'm like the one she, has a, very extensive resume, as Twitter has already found and pointed out and everything like that. But it's tough. It's tough. First of all, I think any guys that go back and forth with women has some sassy tendencies, but it's tough. It's tough to kind of eat that crow on the spot because he wasn't expecting it. So he felt like, again, I think he got into defensive mode, of course, and looked to deflect. But those were the end, even with his like soliloquy at the end of the night on his own show, those were the indicators that you are bothered and that, you know, you like a hit dog is hollering or whatever like that. And again, the thing that she was stating, where regardless of the tone that she had, was a fact. It wasn't
conjecture by
anyone's character. She wasn't speaking about anybody in particular. She was just, again, she didn't say you're a bad person because you didn't do this. She was trying to, I think, establish a fact in that moment or whatnot. And that got overlooked, of course, because of emotion.
Which is wild crazy to me. Like, being mad at the truth is real sassy behavior, bro. Like,
there's times where either you have checked me or I've checked you, and it's like we've been ready to respond, but you'd be like,
you got that off.
Yeah, like, you know what? You got that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you can argue feelings and all of that other stuff, but facts are facts. And if you're wrong, yeah, you suck it up, pause, and you just gotta wear that. But he
I think he's used to out elocuting people. That was, he had to say very, it was concise statement that just was straight to the point. And it was like, wait, but, and all he had to say was, really?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about the WNBA. Now, come on, don't do that, Monica. Come on, dog. Like, nah, you took an L, bro.
And guys, like, in the media space. Go ahead.
L and the whole Kendrick thing. He took an L. At the end of the day, he's been quiet. It's just like, hey, okay, I lost. Let me go back and get some hot summer music for y'all to get ready to bounce to, man, at that point. So sometimes you just gotta wear it and keep it pushing.
Yeah, but like, I kind of see it in with men in media, especially like alpha men that's used to going up against other strong male personalities and figures. It's like whenever they talk to the women, of course they have like some reverence and respect for them, but their tone is still like, you know,
look condescending.
Yeah, exactly. From a woman's standpoint, it'll look like chauvinistic or misogynistic and stuff, condescending. When reality, that's their tone with everyone. They feel like it shouldn't be nuanced, that everybody could get the smoke or whatever like that. But again, with him jumping into defense mode, all he had to do was really like, you know, kind of deflect and stuff like that. And that's how a lot of people handle arguments nowadays, is they'll be like, well, what have I done for you? Are you serious? Like, you really going to come? Remember that time I gave you a ride? Really? You going to do that to me? You know what I'm saying? Oh, Cliff couldn't even come and pick me up. You don't even know how many times I gave him a ride.
You know? Ultimately, he was wrong. We've been saying it for a while. The WNBA getting this level of attention is a good thing for the game, honestly, because it's a good game. And if they were still paying like some of the previous not as entertaining level, but now every game that I've seen this season, all three have been really high level. Now, I also want to give a shout out to the African Basketball League randomly.
Oh, okay.
Just African Basketball League, the ABL. I forget where I was and was watching African basketball, but they was balling and it felt like a playoff game and it was their regular season. Oh, over at Ashton's house. Shout out to Ashton. He and I were watching, just literally at the crib, watching, flipping through the channels, and we came up on an ABL game. But there's a lot of good high-level basketball being played all around the world, man.
I thought this is where you were going with it, but I did want to shout out real quick, because the spotlight has been on a lot of the rookies this year, but the season that Asia Wilson's having, she just was off. I think she was just Western Conference Player of the Month. She's averaging 12.5 rebounds right now, and then also averaging 26.5 points, while my girl, they call her, it's messed up, but they call her Wanda from Snowfall, Arike Ogunbowale from Notre Dame, out of Notre Dame, but she plays with the Wings. She's actually the league's leading scorer right now with 26.6 points. So her and Asia Wilson both neck and neck with that. And then your girl, Kelsey Plum, while we're talking, want to lighten up the mood a little bit here at the WNBA talk. But she's actually leading the league in three-pointers made a game, I guess 3.5 per game. Do you know, and that's Diana Taurasi's right behind her, but do you know who that is, Kelsey Plum?
Yeah, I'm familiar with
she's kind of the ex of a famous football player.
Yeah, Darren Waller.
Right. That's the New York Giants. So I just said, yeah, he got NWA with some lighthearted stuff. But did you hear the song or see the video?
I saw part of the video and listened to part of the song. As a matter of fact, I'm about to say, let's just go ahead and play a little bit of it for the people. In case you have missed it, this is just a little snippet of Darren Waller, who knew her perspective. Now, you said your issue with it was that it was cacophonic, is what you said?
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the internet personality Bubba Dub.
Uh-huh.
But it's trash. It's trash.
Here's my thing. If Lil Scoop Flip Daddy Daddy whomever whatever had dropped this, I feel like folks would have been rocking with it. But just because it's my boy and he crying behind a gal and he got his Letterman jacket on.
Big Cliff, you're a musician. Even technically speaking, I'm saying the way it was recorded, I don't like the doubles. I don't like nothing about it.
With the echo in and yeah, no. Nah.
Again, shout out to Kelsey Plum. She's flourishing and glowing up, I guess.
Got that situation. Man. He out here just trying all he can to get his gal back, I guess. I don't know whatever. Yeah. Who knows? But
yeah, there's a WNBA question that I want to ask you, but all right, I'll keep it real lighthearted and short, and I just won't incriminate nothing. But anyways, fun like little meme that's going around talking about dudes and we want to be flued out or whatnot. Without telling me a player, just go ahead and tell me a city that you would want to get flew out to.
Nah, I ain't gonna hold you. I'm trying to go to Sin City, baby. And I hate to be that just, on the nose and that obvious, but I'm going to say the player, okay? Because that long legged.
Okay. See, I tried to. All right.
Which city are you getting flued out to, bro?
I was thinking about going to the Shy, man. I can't front.
Here's my thing. I'm good where I'm at and all that good stuff. But if Shorty sent a ticket, I'm out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even.
Y'all know I'm a fan of Baltimore.
Okay. No, let me. Here's my question for you. As we here on Carolina Sports Talk, and this is Carolina Sports Talk, it's your main man, Big Cliff, sitting in with my dog, DJ High Star. We back in the action. This is a quick hits episode, but my dog. So,
and Dope Digitals.
Representing Dope Digitals Studios. You out there, one time for the homie. We have proclaimed who our fandom for several teams. They know they were both Panthers fans. They know, Lakers, the Yankees, the Knicks. They know us. For the record, who is your WNBA squad?
The Liberty.
Okay. Okay.
I've seen the Inception. My sisters, God bless the dead, but my sisters both have pictures with Gregory Hines at some of the first Liberty games.
Okay.
Out there. So I got a personal connection with the Liberty.
And see, my personal connection, and again, hate to be on the nose, I'm an Aces fan. Now, here's the thing. Is it primarily because of Asia Wilson? Yes. But the year that they really, when she was drafted out there, no, it was the year before, whenever they really first came out with the team, it was also the same team, same year that the Knights in Vegas in hockey came out. And so I was aware.
Yeah.
I was aware and watching both of them because they both had a reasonable modicum of success early on. And then
I went to Vegas that year.
That's live. I've never been to Las Vegas. If/when I go, it's got to be during this time of the year, and I'm going to see an Aces game.
It was right. Come on, bro. And the Knights was
the popping. They was rocking that, like that. They've already been to the Cup twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like so. The Knights is like that. But like, I've been a fan, and I've been a fan of them since then. Even before they won the titles. Even before Asia was, you know what I'm saying, back to back league MVP, the whole nine. But again, if she sent a ticket, I'm wearing pink and green and I'm out. Holla at your boy. So with that being said, let's flew out to the NBA where we are right around the corner. You know what I'm saying? A little TT, something slight. Where we are right around the corner for the NBA Finals. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, if y'all are listening to this now, new episode Wednesday, the finals should kick off tomorrow night, Thursday evening. Go ahead, though. I kind of stepped on your toes there.
Nah, you're good. And because actually, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you with, I know you had some questions regarding the playoffs and kind of just how did we get here? All right, because, you know, you just mentioned me singing all the time, but go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the bracket movement. And I wanted to start it off now that we're here at the finals. Trey, you could go ahead and give your input if you like as well, Mr. Dope Digitals or Upper Hoops, whatever. But what was your most impressive performance of the playoffs thus far and disappointing performance of the playoffs? Injuries included.
My most impressive playoff win would have to be in the play-in tournament when the Los Angeles Lakers took down the Pelicans.
All right, hold on real quick. All right, so Big Cliff said playoff win, even though I said performance, but he said was the play-in when y'all took down the Pelicans. Go ahead. Sorry, Big Cliff. Go
ahead. Cause you had to give him the Cliff notes.
What about the performance? Who? Like AD?
No, I just said that because I'm, you know, we suck and I needed some kind of hope.
Right.
We'll talk a little bit about the coaching staff and all of that. But nonetheless, honestly, if I got to give it to it, to a performance, it's got to be Jordan's son. I'm going to start calling him Marcus because that's what Marcus should have played. Mr. Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
What about yourself? Who's your impressive playoff performance?
So my impressive playoff performance, even though Josh Hart is a honorable mention, I'll give it to Jalen Brunson, just the scoring that he was doing and the plus minus while he was on the floor. But I'm glad that you brought up Anthony Edwards. Hold on real quick. You got one that you're thinking of? Not mine.
I would say Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
Edwards.
You said so, like disappointing.
Yeah.
Okay. So AE or Ant was Trey's disappointing. So I'm glad that both of y'all brought up Ant though. Have you seen his commercial?
Which one?
Like kind of after there was a commercial after they got eliminated, kind of that Adidas debuted, where it's showing quote unquote receipts and he's reading receipts or whatnot. So it's literally like Carmelo from his podcast, the 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast, I believe, where he's talking about Ant Edwards and, you know, he has to work on this. And he's like, all right, noted. And then his homeboys read another receipts. One's from Cameron and their show, It Is What It Is, where Cam's like, he's an all-star right now, but he's not a superstar, you know? And then Ant Edwards in the commercial, in the Adidas commercial, is like, man, F buddy. Like, it bleeps it, but he's being Ant Edwards in the commercial, in other words, if anybody's seen him in post games and
stuff
like that.
Hey, what's up with the machine, though?
So Cam actually spit a freestyle back at him or whatnot, kind of responding and saying to watch himself being with Adidas because all of their stars get hurt and end up getting, you know, career-ending injuries and put Kevin Ware in his freestyle, RG3 in his freestyle. It was very clever. But nah, it's funny that y'all brought up Ant Edwards. You said that he was your most impressive off of highlights or how he led the team. What?
I think that he, in ways where he was a decoy, he was a decoy. I loved to see that. I want to say it was game like 3, where when he turns on, man, it's just that he has not reached that consistent always on. Like the, people talk about for right, wrong, or different, talk about playoff LeBron. And when he turns it on, he's on and he's locked in. I think as Edwards continues to grow, if he can avoid the KD consumption of all of the extracurricular and outside noise, I think he has an amazing trajectory and an opportunity. Again, the distractions seemed like they were a little bit much for him, and even so much so to the point where they were nice that he just seemed tired. And you know how you can go through an emotional dump and your adrenaline just kind of causes you to drop. I think that's what we experienced from him in more than enough and more than, you know, too many, honestly, games throughout the playoffs. But nonetheless, just his potential was what was the most impressive to me.
Sometimes I let you talk too long without cutting you off and it messes up my point. But I think that... And I think it's to Dope Digital's point with his disappointing part of the performance from AE in the postseason was, or Ant-Man was, it looked like fatigue caught up with him. It looked like, and that's certain people, like, you know, I think I'll speak about him here in a second, but Kyrie, other players, they are just conditioned to the, like Steph. They're just conditioned, like, and there was times like you're not in Denver anymore. You're not even, you know, you're not in no high altitudes or nothing. But he was looking spent, and it was like that. The emotions from their series with Denver and getting Jokic and the MVP out of there, that took over everything, and they didn't have any kind of gas left for the now Western Conference champions, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, so, we know that that team was constructed to take to do exactly what they did, take down Denver. But you also have to have that. We talked about it with the Warriors, that championship medal to say we know what to do. We've been here before. We know how to do certain things. And I think this, as far as experience goes, will go a long way for this team moving forward. Now, ultimately, I'd love to see him in an LA jersey. So if we can find a way to get rid of LeBron and give him Bron and Bronny and all of that, and hey, cool. But, you know, nonetheless, I think they're going to do what they can to hold on to him for a while. So shout out to the young man with a bright future.
Right. Also, the Thunder, they didn't really fare well. So they would go down kind of as my disappointing performance. But, well, no. They would be honorable mention.
Okay.
My disappointing performance, and the reason that I said injuries included, goes to one Farnsworth. I'm sorry. Tyrese Halliburton. All right. Now, we didn't talk about it much, and I don't mind us not talking about it much, but the Knicks got put out in game 7, in 7 games, when they were up 3-1, I want to say, or something crazy like that. So, you know, injuries aside, we just didn't take care of business in game 6 or game 7, and the Pacers ended up winning. In game 7, back at the Garden, you know, all of the hype from Indiana-New York rivalry for all of our older listeners was there and present. And so at the end of the game, once the Pacers decidedly won, Tyrese Halliburton wears a hoodie that has Reggie Miller on it, a graphic of Reggie Miller doing the choking sign, which he's infamous for doing in Madison Square Garden close to 20-some-odd years ago. Mm-hmm. Probably it was like 22, 23 years ago. So definitely was feeling triggered by that, in that move that he did. Just for them to get the gentleman sweep, I believe, or not, was it 4-1? I want to say, I think so, in their series with, okay. So just for them to turn around and, you know what I mean, get dealt with or whatnot. You know, that was a disappointing performance from him for me. You talk, speaks for itself, man. I'm a Knicks fan, man. Knicks tape.
Period. Now, as we fast forward and look at the actual matchup that you mentioned will start tomorrow, Thursday night, what are your early projections and thoughts about the Mavs and Celtics?
All right. So, of course, you're going to have Luka and Kyrie versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as the headline and stuff like that running through. But two X factors to definitely keep your eyes on both sides of the court. It's going to be PJ Washington with the Dallas Mavericks and then Derek White with Boston.
I like it.
They are when both of them are turned up, then it means bad things for the opposite team. So that's just something to look out for. Give your thoughts first, and then I just wanted to say something else about this series, if you will.
It's ironic that this button is green, but I'm going to press it anyway. Congratulations to the Dallas Mavericks for taking the NBA Finals Championship in a record score, whatever you want to call it, taking a series 4-1 against the Boston Celtics. You heard it here, folks. Heard it here first, Jake, folks. Up, man. Listen, if it could be 4-1, it could be 4-3, it could be 4-0 for all I care. I just don't want Boston to win. It is absolutely because I don't like Jason Tatum, okay? Okay, let's just go ahead and put it out there. I don't like the Duke mascot who then turned around and went to Boston. I don't like it. I don't like him. I don't like it, and I hope he loses. Point blank. I got nothing else to say about it. Shout out to all of the Boston Celtics fans.
Self-proclaimed Kobeite.
He's a self-proclaimed bum. That's what he is. Bump this dude. I hope he don't win not one ring. Shout out to Dag Jr., our homeboy Justin, who will be interning with us moving through forward in the summertime. Hardcore Celtics fan. But yeah, Justin, y'all not taking this one. Point blank.
So I wanted to bring this up also. The storyline, the other nice storyline that always is interesting and intriguing whenever it comes to finals matchups is former teams. So Kristaps Porzingis, who's on the Celtics, former team is Dallas. And on Dallas, Kyrie Irving had not such a favorable departure from Boston.
Correct.
And so it's a little bit of extra fuel to the fire for the matchup. But I do want to take this time. Get the round of applause ready if you can real quick, bruh. So I got to give a round of applause to myself somewhat. But around the time that Kyrie was being villainized, I can recall myself being Team Kyrie through it all. Through and through. And I want to say for the record, I feel like the state of New York, the city of Brooklyn more specifically, owes that man some lost wages. But right now, the apology tour has been very, very loud since Dallas has made it. One stop that was made on the apology tour was to TNT inside the NBA. And Kyrie got to face Shaq face-to-face, who called him an idiot in the past, and Charles Barkley, who had to really eat. They were forced to eat humble pie through all the controversy and stuff that Kyrie's been through, be him, like, causing it or not.
Right.
A lot of it, there was some bias to a lot of his, like, punishment. It was definitely unfair, and, glad to kind of see him in a way on his redemption arc.
What does this do for his legacy as a basketball player to win this championship without LeBron James as a teammate? And does it, okay, first part of the question, second part, does it speak louder for his legacy or for Luka's?
Well, I'll answer the second part first, but it speaks louder for his legacy, I feel. And it's just, It's similar to the time Brady leaving Tampa. It may have took a little longer, but I think from the from the image that he's always put out there, he's held himself to a high level of integrity.
Right.
So kind of doing it the right way, or his way, in other words, with all these roadblocks in his way, has been commendable. So I think it speaks louder for his legacy than Lucas, though, if and when they take care of business.
All right, so I've already given my projection. What are your thoughts? Who wins the finals? How many games?
I'm going for the Mavs in six.
Okay. Dope Digitals. What says G?
Oh, he stepped away.
You had to blast that man, but right, we'll come back to it when he comes back out. But nonetheless, I'm excited. Hopefully it's a good finals. I think game one will be kind of a tone setter. What happens in that game, I think, will be reflective. You know how sometimes it can be a back and forth kind of series? I don't think so. And I'm really hoping that they being the Mavs, are able to get off to a hot start. And if they are, take game one. I fully expect it to be the outcome that I anticipated. 4-2, 4-1. It can be 4-6 for all I care. But that, nonetheless, go Mavs.
All right. I liked I just wanted to say before we moved on, I was a fan and I liked Ant-Man's confidence at the end of the Denver series as a young man, like as far as saying, like, yo, I'm gonna get Kyrie or whatnot. Like, it reminded me and was reminiscent of Kyrie challenging Kobe at USA or whatnot, because it was fearless. So I didn't have a problem with what he did or what he said, in other words. And the outcome was the outcome. But similar to Caitlin Clark, it's like these are the things that build character for you. And, you know what I mean, help you to come back and be the assassin that you need to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of assassins, man, there has been some good basketball that has been played this year. Had nothing to do with assassins just now, actually.
I was just about to ask. Yeah. Where's the assassins part coming in at? Let me out.
The transition. I just killed it. That's the assassin part. Speaking of assassins, I just killed that transition. What's up? No, without further ado, I do want to, before we get finished with basketball, to mention to you guys the annual HBCU Alumni Weekend, sponsored by High Star Hoops, is going down next month, July the 5th and 6th in Charlotte, North Carolina. First time that this dynamic event has been taken up to the Queen City. And man, speaking of good basketball and assassins, there is a lot of good basketball that's going to be played beginning on July 5th, as I mentioned, opening up with Clinton College versus Denmark Tech, followed by Morris College versus Voorhees, and our first ever celebrity all-star game. Now, the celebrity game is, I'm really, really excited for this one. Again, it's July 5th at 9 o'clock on the campus of Johnson C. Smith University. We've got Team Chalmers versus Team Hezzy. Team Chalmers is going to be coached by Lou. As I was getting there.
I'm sorry.
Team Chalmers is going to be coached by Lou Young, and it features Mario Chalmers of the Miami, formerly of the Miami Heat. It's got Nick Lavelle, Confucian, DJ Puffs, several others, Jaron, J. Lou Lewis, Mr. Hot Grease, Dekia Coffin, against Team Hezzy, coached by Shuler King. Shout out to the Bruz, comedian. Many of you all may know him from social media, different comedy specials around the country. But also, it's going to be featured and led by the Hezzy God himself. Vernon VT Taylor, Ray Singleton, shout out to the Bruz, Yali, Wes Bellamy coming all the way down from Charlottesville, Virginia. Point God himself, Big Baby Chief, so many more. Sidney the King Robinson, Bria Young. We've got all stars up and down this game. The celebrity game is going to be like that, bro. I am excited. For that alone, it's worth the price of admission. But then turn around and on the 6th, we got a whole bunch more basketball. The women's HBCU basketball game features alumni from all of the state schools in South Carolina, as well as all of the schools in North Carolina. The women's game at 1 o'clock, followed by Shaw versus St. Augs, Benedict versus Allen, Winston-Salem State versus Fayetteville State, South Carolina State versus Claflin, Howard versus Hampton, North Carolina A&T versus North Carolina Central, and in a matchup marquee matchup of the evening, Livingstone College versus Johnson C. Smith. Dog, I'm telling you, my boy, it's going down, man. July 5th and 6th in Charlotte, bro.
Appreciate that whole yeah, thank you. You didn't pay anything for that, so thank you.
Oh, no, you're talking about we. I'm squad, bro. Like, I'm
right,
I'm
legit. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, but still, accounting is accounting. I just didn't want to.
The good folks over at Crux Media. Nah, like, this is our event, man. And so we've been privileged to literally be a part of it since its inception, from the baby days down at Benedict College to what it's grown to. We've right. had opportunity to interview Dr. Buford before, and I'm excited to see just where this year goes and even where we're getting ready to go afterwards, man. I have an opportunity to interview some of those celebrities as well as some of the players from the different schools. But to have that many schools, man, from North and South Carolina, and for it to be right there in the heart of the Queen City, man.
Yeah.
And literally from D.C. and Virginia as well, Hampton and Howard alumni. And again, it's unique because it's alumni from different generations. I know with like Claflin, they've got cats that have played in like the late 90s, early 2000s with some of these cats from the teens, man. And so to have, like, if you're a fan of basketball, if you went to an HBCU, if you just like events, man, this is definitely going to be one for the culture, definitely going to be one for the books, man. So you make sure y'all pop out there.
Now, you said, all right, you said team Chalmers, Mario Chalmers, his team is coached by Shuler King.
No, Lou Young.
And then, Lou Young. And then Team Hezzy, who is also the Bruzz Road Chapter, that's going to be coached by Shuler King.
Correct.
Okay. Who are the Lakers going to be coached by next year?
Bronny Cummings. See, they thought we was drafting him with the 55th pick, but really, we just going to bring him in and let him coach. You know what I mean, nah, literally, it doesn't matter who the coach is, because as long as LeBron James is wearing purple and gold, that's his team. He might as well go ahead and coach. That's, you know what? That's what I would. Hot take. You ready for this one? Here we go.
It's hot.
LeBron James is going to retire, forfeiting his $51.4 million salary next year to become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And with his 55th pick, he is going to draft LeBron James Jr.
So
it's hot.
So is he going to put J.J. Redick just on his staff as an assistant coach?
Yeah, no, see, he'll be the actual head coach, but it'll be LeBron's team. LeBron will be the head coach. He's going to retire and just be like, yeah, I got this. Who are your thoughts on it? Are you leaning towards JJ?
That's the way that the nasty politics are looking. But for the fans that aren't aware, though, LeBron and JJ Redick started up a podcast, what, maybe 2 months ago or so?
Yep.
It's really like basketball centric and real analytical and stuff. And now, J.J. Redick was named as one of the front runners for the job or the vacancy up there in L.A. as far as the coaching job. So it just looked like some nasty politics going on, not to mention the projected rankings for Bronny as far as his draft status. It dropped to right around, to hover right around to where the Lakers have draft picks. Curious.
Here's the thing. I'm hoping that Genie is just being a mastermind and hopes that somebody, we're going to steal him before the Lakers can get him, and go ahead and like let somebody come in and swoop in at like 53 or 54 and take him so we can have some better player and a better option. Because under no circumstance does it make any sense for LeBronny James to be a Laker. He's not that good.
When's the last time any Lakers front office moves have made sense?
It's been some time. Kobe was still alive.
Mm.
It's like when he passed, he took their sins along with them. I just that's the best I got, because this, I'm just so sick, so sick of LeBron James and the even with what we're paying.
It's Hollywood, man. He's Shaq 3.0 right now. It's Hollywood.
No, because he's Shaq won 3.0 championships. You see what I'm saying? LeBron has got 0.0, or no, he's got 0.5 championship. No, I guess I'll give him one. Half from the bubble and half from the in-season tournament. I'm over it, bro. I'm so done with him. Almost as much as we're done with basketball. But again, make sure you guys are hitting it up for social, hit up for social media at Carolina Sports Talk on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, YouTube too, to get some of the details about the High Star Hoops HBCU Alumni Classic. Again, going down Charlotte, North Carolina, on the campus of Johnson C. Smith University, 100 Bailey's Ford Road. What you know about Bailey's Ford? July 5th and 6th, High Star Hoops HBCU Alumni Weekend. Just before we get out of here, man, we do want to talk a little football. In the news recently, you may have heard, may have seen, that Bank of America is the potential place for an upgraded stadium. David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, as well as the owner of the Charlotte Football Club, has talked about the stadium being a home of Charlotte football for nearly 30 years, and they are excited to kind of just update that. And so there's some new plans for a renovation. He is asking $800 million proposed upgrades, and asking the city of Charlotte for $650 million worth of that money. Now, one of the things that he was very clear in communicating was that it would not require any additional increase in taxes, nor any additional increase in anything else. It's just going to be a reallotment of funds that they already collect. But I think it's time. It is well since.
I'm sorry to cut you up, but that who collects? Like the city?
Yeah, so the city already has like different taxes and things in place for infrastructure. They would just be able to take some of that money allotted for that and divert it to the Panther Stadium, which would also sign a deal to keep the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte for another 20 years. So let's just jump straight into it. What are your thoughts on the potential upgrades and renovations to Bank of America Stadium?
I've been going there for 12 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Strong. My first game was in 2012 that I went to. And it would be nice. I don't know how else to say it. Like the stuff that you showed me, I don't know if I don't want to promise the fans anything like that. And you could put it on the page, but those projected or the, what they call it, suggested upgrades and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are very nice. So I can imagine all of the property value that would go up around as well around that area and stuff like that. So it's a great long-term play. I am pro the upgrades. Again, I think it's about time. Have you ever sat up? And when's the last time, like, I should say, that you've sat up in the nosebleeds at Bank of America?
Sheesh. Significant amount of time.
What grade level of school were you in? Oh, they going at this WNBA game, man. No Caitlin Clark around. But what grade level were you in? You were in high school, college?
No, I was in a 500 section. I'm going to keep it a buck. I want to say it was a Thursday night game. Matter of fact, I know exactly when it was. It was the Thursday night game that Cam Newton, his last season with us when he imploded. We were playing the Philadelphia Eagles the year that they won the Super Bowl. And a buddy of mine had the tickets then, and because it was an Eagles game, so many people in there, I went with him there, and we were in the 500 section then, so it would have been that Thursday night when the Eagles fans came in there screaming, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, all night long and fighting each other and us and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that would have been, when did the Eagles win the Super Bowl? Was that 2018, 17?
So I got to have that action for one of those. Yeah.
So around that time. Because, you know, I'm a 100 level guy these days, you know.
Facts.
Shout out to
But I just say all of that to say the 500s be rocking a little too much. So we definitely need the upgrades.
A little too much motion in the ocean. Yeah, now real life though, it's amazing to see what the potential for this new upgrade is. And for those who may have missed it, we will try to get some pictures up on the social media, but who knows, maybe not. But they've got some standing room only like it's sections in the 500, which would include new bar areas, some new lounges, things of that nature. Upgraded sound all throughout, Jumbotron upgrades, as well as new video billboards outside, new park areas. It would also include some infrastructure changes, which would allow them to have like a covered that, you know, they practice in the bubble right around the corner right now, but it would provide for some internal opportunities for them to practice inside as well. We know that there's, you know, they can't put a dome over the top of the stadium, but nonetheless, we are definitely excited for what they potentially have there. My only thing is, I am so very glad that I do not work in Uptown Charlotte anymore, because it's going to be miserable trying to get through that traffic with construction going on down there. So if they do get it, man, shout out and prayers to all of y'all working Uptown, because y'all gonna have to go through it for a little while until those are concluded. That being said,
imagine it would have to be off season though.
Yeah, no, absolutely have to be off season, but nonetheless, it would still take time through a regular, they wouldn't be able to get it in just one off season, especially with as long as the football season is. And so, I fully expect it to be a multi-month, if not a year long project. We'll get some more details as it comes out. First of all, it is just the, proposed deal. The city of Charlotte has to approve it and everything like that, but we'll definitely take a look at it. Highstar, anything you want to highlight to people before we get up out of here, bro?
There is.
Okay, go for it.
Right now?
Yeah.
So if everybody didn't know, along with being a DJ, I'm a owner of a moving company, and this past Saturday, I had a quick move, quick unload to do. When I was speaking with the lady, she told me it's 27th floor. Beautiful luxury apartment uptown. So I was like, well, okay. And I showed up to the move. And as I'm taking the stuff out of the U-Haul, I see like a big picture, big poster of Mississippi State defensive lineman. So I just wanted to take the time to shout out Jaden Crumity. It was our sixth round draft pick, I want to say. He went 200th overall to the Panthers, but met the young man and stuff like that, ended up moving him in, got some pictures and stuff like that, but just wanted to shout him out. And, Homie definitely look focused. Like, to, I was geeked up at the beginning of the move to know, like, oh, this is a guy that got drafted and stuff like that. And then as I'm moving homie in, and I should have somehow just told him about the show. It'll be bad if I text them now. But
go ahead.
But I felt kind of bad toward the end of the move, because I'm like, yo, this is probably like a 3-month lease, 6-month lease. He's like looking very serious in the face. Then I look at our depth chart and we've got like 6 to 8 defensive tackles right now. It's not anything funny, but the guy, he's a unit, pause. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
the guy
is freaking, yo.
Facts though.
Say less. Guys. Well, shout out to Mr. Cromati. We definitely wish him the best. Hopefully he's able to make the squad.
Man, make my picture worth something that I took.
But now, go ahead and text him. Tell him, hit up Carolina Sports Talk, available on your favorite podcast app, or tell your smart speaker, play.
I'm going to look for his social media, and I'm going to follow him that way. Probably do that.
He's not going to follow you back. Yeah.
Nah, I'm not looking for him to follow me back. I want to share the fact that, yo, it's the dude that moved you, but we have a show.
Heard. Tell him, pull up. We'll do an interview with him. You know, maybe that'll increase his profile.
Yeah, now you all. Yeah, and I guess in the moment too, like, yeah, I'm pretty grateful that I didn't do anything crazy. Like, as far as not even fan out, but solicit stuff like that.
But like, hey, now again, that's your business, and so that's your opportunity to be a professional. And I appreciate you almost as much as I appreciate each and every one of you guys for joining us tonight, or today, or whenever it is that you're listening to this episode. Thanks for tuning in on your favorite podcast app. Next time, you can tell that smart speaker, your Alexa, Siri, any of them, Google Play Carolina Sports Talk. You can also hit us up on the Carolina Sports Talk line, cliff@carolinasportstalk.net, or on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and more. We appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, peace.